Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. It's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here with you tonight.
Why are you here? We're talking to Carolyn Mace about Sacred Contracts, one of her many best-selling books. Welcome to the show, Greg Braden.
Well, good evening, Nicole. It's certainly a pleasure to hear your voice and a pleasure to be here tonight.
Welcome to the show, Stuart Wild.
Thank you very much.
John Kehoe, welcome to News for the Soul.
Hey, how are you?
You're listening to News for the Soul Radio, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained, since January 1997.
Welcome to News for the Soul's 20th anniversary broadcast series. News for the Soul, the longest-running spiritual empowerment and exploration broadcast in North America. Started its 21st year in January 2018, and we're just getting warmed up. It's time to take it to the next level, exploring the edge of human consciousness and possibility on planet Earth in our 21st year with founder and journalist Nicole Marie Whitney at the helm. What's really real and what's really possible? That is what we want to know. So if you're ready to find out together, get ready for life-changing talk radio. From the uplifting to the unexplained, Platinum Edition, here is News for the Soul.
Next on News for the Soul, it's time for Joy DeVivre with Laurie McCracken. As an emotional code and body, Next on News for the Soul, it's time for Intuitive Numerology with Laura. Using numerology, Laura can help you intuitively guide you to find your path, creating more ease and flow in your daily life. Call in now for your free reading today, 646-595-4274. Let's welcome Laura back to News for the Soul now.
Hey, Laura, welcome back. How's it going?
Hi there. Good afternoon, Nicole. Good afternoon, everyone else. It's going well. We're in the middle of, we had a big snowstorm this weekend, so lots of snow. So it's nice and bright out, right? That's the one thing I love about the snow when you're in the middle of winter is it brings you some light.
Yes, and everything's clean, clean and white.
Exactly, clean and white. So, yeah, so it's good to be back. I was sick a couple weeks ago, and got a few things prepared for today that I wanted to talk about. As far as, you know, numbers go, is there anything that has been coming up for you, a question, or that you've been getting emails on, or anything that we want to cover before I launch into my stuff, or?
In general terms, I'm sure you probably address it, is that many have noticed a shift and change in the energies, and wondering if numerologically something's reflective in that. Did something major happen recently to shift things out?
Mm-hmm. Well, so it's interesting because we can look at this year in a number of different ways. You know, first of all, this is an 11 year. So that, you know, that overall vibration of this year is all about coming together, healing connections, increased sensitivity, increased intuition, and bringing things to a, you know, a higher level in terms of broader reach of things, higher intensity. So we can look at some things with that and say, wow, that has affected us positively in terms of, let's say, you know, like all the marches that happened this year on the 20th, right? They were, you know, it was like that resurgence of coming back together. Then you can look at it on the other end of that, the underside of the 11 vibration for the year, which is, you know, can be paranoid and make people get into details that really aren't serving the higher good, and they kind of hide in them. You know, so even things in the news where people are bringing out details that really aren't pertinent to how do we move forward, how do we work as a community, a global community, to, because they're really off task on being afraid to really connect deeply in a way that helps heal relationships, create deeper connections. So you can see some of both of that going on. And, you know, we had this blue moon, super moon eclipse on the 31st, which is a lot about, you know, how are we, what are we letting go of, and what are we, what do we want to manifest? And I think with a lot of people, you know, if they're living a reactionary life, they're really not creating the intention to manifest the things that they want to. They're just living this fear-based, reactionary, you know, how do I survive today kind of life. And that can bring a lot of anxiety and stress. And I mean, I don't know if you feel that a lot, but I really feel that with people. And funny, because someone was talking to me about the astral plane. You know, and if we think about the astral plane as that space where sometimes you travel when you're sleeping, or that spot in between being awake and asleep. And that not only is it that spot where there can be negative things going on or negative energy that's kind of caught there, but it's also that spot where all the fear and things that are accumulating in the world from the news and TV shows and all of the things that are going on violence-wise, it's like this collective place for all of that stuff. And it can really cause us a lot of trepidation. So how do we take feeling all of that in a year where the sensitivity is heightened and use our tools to not let that overtake and sidetrack us from what we came here to do and finding grounding so that we can move forward and not just live in a reactionary fear type of situation? So as we moved into February, so if we think about the year, right, at 10,000 feet, the year for everybody is this 11 year. So then the month of February is a 4 month. How do we get there? If you add it up, 2018, it's 11, right? And then February is 2, so 11 plus 2 is 13. And 13 reduced down to a single digit is 4. So this 4 month, which is about creating a strong foundation for moving forward, cleaning house, getting rid of the stuff that doesn't serve you anymore, keeping your eye on the big picture, right? It asks us to look at the big picture just like the year does, right? How can we do things on a broader scale and not hide in the details? So we can really, with the energy of the year and the month, start to go deep into details to hide if we're living in the fear side of things. So grounding is really important. how can we ground? You know, meditation. I find especially a mantra meditation when you're really in a stressful, anxiety type area of your life really, really helps. So using something that you can repeat, transcendental meditation people, you know, they get their own special mantra. There's different schools of thought on that. But, you know, you can use a simple one, and you know, the one that one of my teachers has always taught us to use is Om Namah Shivaya, which means I bow to the divine. And it's a nice way to get into a rhythm with that. And what it helps you do is, as you focus on that mantra and the vibrational quality of it, can help you shift out of the left brain, monkey mind, fear place, and more into your heart center in the right side, in the right brain. And with that, you know, since Rome was not built in a day, it's not like, oh, well, I tried that once and it didn't work for me. 30 seconds in, I got up and made coffee. Or I changed the washer to the dryer, or I got back to work on my phone, or whatever. You know, it's an iterative process, right? Maybe the first day it's 5 seconds, maybe the second day it's 6, maybe the third day it's 2. Maybe the fourth day you skip it, but to try to keep coming back to a practice that you can consistently work on is really the way to get beyond always living in the fear part of the brain and getting caught up in everything that's circulating around us, especially in this super sensitive year. So, Nicole, what have you found with your meditation practice? How has that helped you in this year?
That's a nice question. Well, the shift I was referring to was I found it was after that blue moon, super moon eclipse,
mm-hmm.
Right. That it was easier to connect in after that. And I found this year it's like so much distraction energy and too much.
So it kind of gave you laser focus?
Yes.
Okay,
and
good.
It shifted back after that. And the first time in an entire year, I could feel something on a real foundational level shifted in a good way.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I thought it was a pretty powerful moon as well, and doing a meditation for it really helped bring things into focus for me too. And I've been talking a lot about grounding for the last year because I always find, you know, when I teach a yoga class or whatever it is I'm doing, generally speaking, what I'm feeling, what I'm experiencing resonates with the other people in the class. And so that has been a big, really big thing that I've been working on in the last year in particular, is to ground. And that idea that as you feel the bottom of your feet, as you ground through your bottom chakras, right, the root chakra, sacral chakra, solar plexus chakra, it helps everything move more efficiently, more smoothly, more authentically. Because as you think about living in your head, you know, you can get a lot of stuff, right? You can get a lot of psychic information and bad vibes. But if you can be grounded, the information that you get is more stable. And do you feel like that super moon really helped maybe to ground you more?
Yeah, I think it was beyond that. Something did. Deeply, that like something bigger that had a lot of effects, one of them being more access to feeling more grounded and like your wheels weren't spinning in the sand anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And, you know, and that's the, you know, that's that practical energy of February too. That four energy is very practical. It's very grounded and move forward kind of way.
Mm.
So there's some of that. I think that helped that helps us with it too. And to not force things, but to let them take their course as we just work our way on the things that we know what to do, how to do, trusting in the process. So that's, I feel like there's been a lot of not trust in the process, right? I mean, as we see some of the processes around us in the world being broken.
Yes.
That we don't trust. So how can we create something in our lives? And maybe it's, you know, that intention at the blue moon of, you know, what we want to let go of, what we want to manifest, and then we trust in the process of it. I was talking about to some people about my resolutions for 2018. And I thought it was interesting because what I did with my resolutions were, you know, like, okay, so I, you know, got up and first of the year and I'm all fired up and I start writing all my resolutions and, you know, several paragraphs later, then I thought, okay, well, I'm going to recap. And I started making them all bullet points. And then I'd get up every day and sit down and meditate and then reread my resolutions. And it was interesting because what I realized is that I really put together like a to-do list that didn't actually fire me up. And so it was kind of more of the same. So then what I did some thinking on it and meditated. And then what came to me was, hey, instead, I wrote this letter to 2018 as if it had already happened and said, wow, this was great. And I did this and it was awesome. And I love this, you know, and just talked about all the facets of my life where I wanted to affect change, but I did it in a way where it had already happened. I was excited about it and it was slightly general, right? So there was kind of specifics, but kind of not, because, you know, you need a little play, right? When you're manifesting, you know, if you think about the blue moon and saying, all right, you know, if you decide with that, okay, I want a, you know, whatever, a blue Porsche with X colored pinstripes, and it's going to be, the interior is going to be exactly this, and the tires are going to be this, and the, you know, if you get right down to the nitty gritty on something, I think it's way harder for you to realize something, because what you're trying to do then is you're going way to the form and making just the powers that be in the universe have to make a gazillion other things happen to get you there, as opposed to, you know, if you were, you know, trying to manifest abundance, or if you were trying to manifest peace of mind, or, you know, something like that, where you brought in some more specifics with it, but it wasn't something that had this really tight form that you wanted to manifest, so that it could be something or better, right? Or it could be something you never ever dreamed of, but it was the thing that got you where, you know, where, what you were looking for in terms of abundance or happiness or you know, a livelihood. So I think it's interesting when we start, you know, when we're creating our intentions and then creating things that we want to manifest, that we keep some opening in it, and we keep it exciting, we keep it fun so that we're energized towards it. And part of that energizing towards it, right, is, you know, we can't sit on our couch, make our New Year's resolutions, be excited about them, but sit on our couch and continue to sit on our couch, right? You gotta move in the direction. And that's why I think it's important to have things where you are excited about exploring it and, you know, leaning into different opportunities, because that's what's going to help you to manifest something. Right? You can't just wait for it to show up in your mail slot. You know, and then there are some days when you do need to sit back, but it's not every day, right? So today, the energy of today is a 7 energy. So the 7 energy of today says, let the things that you've already put into motion play out. Spend a little bit more time in introspection. Spend a little bit more time maybe in prayer or connecting, however it is you might, with a higher power. Think a little bit more about, you know, journaling and writing down those things that you feel that come to you. Like this day of higher learning, introspection, spiritual connection. You know, so if you're feeling extra introspective today and your journaling went really well, or, you know, deep, you know, you're feeling that energy of the 7. So I've been talking about, you know, as I, you know, when I give people a reading and I, you know, work with their numbers, and, you know, and we've done a lot of them on the show where I talk to them about their birth path. And I wanted to dig a little bit deeper today with that, because, you know, what I do when I give somebody a private reading, when they contact me, is we go in deeper than just their birth path, right? So their lessons and that. And that's a very key illuminating thing. And I find that it really gets people on starting them in a direction. But there are 4 numbers that everyone has based on their name and their birth date. So their name at birth and their birth date. And just revisiting mine the other day, and I wanted to, I thought it'd be interesting just to go through those, just to give everybody the idea of here's what your birth path with your soul number, with your outer personality number, and with your path of destiny look like. So I'll just get, you know, unless there's something else you want to talk about or get or address, I'll just kind of launch into it.
Let's launch.
Okay, excellent. Okay, so my birth path is an 8. So I came here, and like you, right? I seem to remember that you're an 8 as well, Nicole. And my birth path is an 8, so I came here to own my power in all aspects of my life. As you own your power with an 8, that means you're not a bully, you don't give it away. You need to own it spiritually, materially, in your relationships, all aspects of your life. And when an 8 who's on their path is owning their power, generally speaking, they are making money, creating commerce. So they're not doing it for money's sake so much as they're doing it because when they make money, when they create commerce, it's the trickle-down theory, and it helps other people, and then they can use that money to empower others. And so I find that to be, you know, in parts of my life where I have completely given away my power and other parts of my life where I've really owned it. And as I look at those times in my life, I can see that they really relate to how I was translating what it is that I had to offer into bringing more to more people. Whether it was in my corporate job, whether it was in things that I did, high school, college, to, you know, where I'm at right now in terms of trying to do things to help empower other people. So with that eight, owning your power is a toughie because people can feel it. They can sense your power. And I don't mean that they, you know, walk up to you and go, I sense your power. I mean they feel it and they say, okay. You know, you get those comments like, you intimidate me, or you're too much, or you're, right? So you can get a lot of that from people if you're, because they feel it, and if they're not owning their own power, if they're not in their space, it can be overpowering. And there are times when it can be where, you know, you can be a bully, right? I mean, have you ever experienced any time in your life where you felt like, hey, I was kind of a bully there?
Are you
and
asking?
Then on the other hand, yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't care if you're asking me personally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I try to stay away from that energy at all costs. But who knows?
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, there's those pitfalls that happen sometimes. I mean, you know, I can think about that sometimes when I was younger on the playground, whatever. But, you know, that's part of, if we didn't need to learn the lesson, we wouldn't be experiencing it. That's the point, I guess. So we have those moments. Now, for me, my eight comes through the five and the three. And for many years, I was in sales. Well, the five is a natural marketing sales type vibration with travel and thinking outside the box and leading people. And the three is all about communication and putting things together to communicate information to other people to help them. So when I knew that I was really on path in parts of my life when I leaned into it and things were really going well for me. And then there were parts of my life where I was really hanging on to something that didn't work anymore. And then that created a lot of friction, a lot of, instead of, let's see, so if you think about the eight as, it's a karmic number, it's a number about reaping what you sow. So thinking about those periods in your life where you were feeling more like you needed to go to the bank for a loan than to get to make a deposit. You know, if you have that information, you're like, oh, okay, I'm an eight and I need to, you know, figure this out that way and own my power. Am I owning it? And ask that question. Then it helps shift your consciousness from being a victim or feeling like you have bad luck to, wow, all right, I'm off path and I need to make some changes here. What's not working? I found that interesting. And when I discovered my path that I was right in the middle of a everything not working kind of situation. And it really helped me to create more focus for that and to understand that people are always going to be my teacher and always ask me to own my power in some way, shape, or form. So it's a great thing to know. So then as I looked at, well, what's my soul number? So my soul number is a 9. And your soul number can be this thing that maybe some people don't know about you. If they don't really know you, it can be hidden, or it can be this overriding vibration that at some point in your life, you just feel like this is what I have to do. And along with that come the lessons too. The lessons, the challenges, the talent. So with my 9 as my soul number, you know, the lesson of the 9 vibration is about letting it go and realizing that everybody's on their own spiritual journey and to not get caught into the whole mundane things in life that, you know, can cause us bitterness and make us hang on to things that don't serve us. And with that, it's about helping to raise the vibration of humanity. So for me, I feel like my 9 soul number really started calling to me when I was in a 9 year and the job I had didn't work out for me anymore, and it just really wasn't feeding my soul anymore like it did for many years in many ways. You know, and I started creating a shift by exploring all of the things spiritually that I'd never thought about before, never given any time to. And I really feel like my soul number is really talking to me. Now, interestingly, my soul number comes from the 1 and the 8. So 18, you know, and then 1 plus 8 is 9. So again, I still have that 8 vibration in there, and along with the 1. And both of those are very they're the vibrations that are a lot about head of the room, be the leader, make sure that you're confident, but own your power and keep it balanced. So those are things that, you know, are always being presented to me, and I thought it was really interesting when I saw that my soul number was a 9. And, you know, some of the other attributes with that are that I know that I've been around many, many times, and that I am an old soul, and I've had a lot of experiences where, you know, that 9 vibration can feel like, well, why do I know that? And, you know, it's the way there's something, and it's because, you know, you've been around many times, you've collected a lot of info. So to have that 9 as the soul number can be a really big driving factor. And, it's one of those things that, you know, I talk about when I do a session on someone. So then I've got my outer personality number. And my outer personality number is a 3, and it comes from the 3 and the 0. So the life lesson of the 3 is all about getting out of your head and into your heart to communicate wisdom, not knowledge, just facts. And I know many times in my life, because I'm an Aquarius, I always want to learn. I'm always interested in things and learning. And so I'm always reminding myself to make that shift. Because you don't want to be, you know, Encyclopedia Brown know-it-all, because then people just turn off. If you have something to say that you're saying from your heart and you can connect with people on the heart level, you know, they can feel that. And so with my outer personality being that three, what that's about is how other people perceive you. So how you navigate the world based on other people's perceptions. And that made a lot of sense to me from a lot of ways, because it's a very social number, it's a studious number, but it, you know, there can be the times when, you know, people think, oh, you're a know-it-all and different things. So, you know, you just have to own where is it that you are really speaking from your heart and where you're not. And what do you have to communicate? And is it something that is useful for other people? Is it healing for other people? It's like one of my friends always said, is it the truth that helps or the truth that hurts? And being discerning with that. So as it comes from the 30, you know, got the three in there as well, right? So it's that extra emphasis on getting out of your head and into your heart. And then the zero is, it's like a marker, right? It's like this divine guidance kind of marker where, you know, for me, I need to, it's having more of that focus on spiritual practice, divine guidance, connection. And then my path of destiny is also a three. So communicating. And I think about, you know, being on the radio or teaching a class when I used to help my clients solve their problems, create solutions for them in a corporate setting. That's what I came here to manifest. How do I communicate wisdom from my heart that helps uplift humanity? And with that, my three came from the four and the eight. So it's 48, which reduces to 12, which reduces to three. So my four and my eight, you know, bring with it practicality, building something physical or a system, and more of the eight with creating commerce. So I have a lot of eights circulating throughout my numbers. I've got a lot of threes circulating throughout my numbers. As I look at that, what that says to me is, okay, I have to make sure that I get out of my head and into my heart, right? Finding that, that's why meditation practice is so important for me. And also to make sure that I'm owning my power and not giving it away or not going on the other end of that spectrum, right? Because there's always ends of the spectrum. And, you know, you can own your power in one facet of your life and not another or at different times of your life. So that kind of brings my whole picture together. And for me, it's exciting to look at all of that and say, oh, okay, wow, I think I'm on the right track with what it is I'm doing right now. So then how do I hone it? How do I continue to improve? How do I work on it to always, you know, continue on some on a developmental path spiritually, emotionally. So that's really the crux of, as you go into someone's, you know, when you get their numbers and you really work on it, then you can really break it down into the different sections and go, okay, how does that work for you? How does that feel for you? And how can we, you know, how can you create some steps to move forward there? You know, so for instance, the nine number at my soul, having a forgiveness process is really important for me because I can tend to hang on to things that I need to forgive. And I find, right, as I do it, then that helps free me up. But it will be that challenge and that thing that I need to listen to. And, you know, if you've ever had that saying, you ever heard that saying, don't let someone live rent free in your head. You know, or it could be anywhere, your heart, wherever it is. as we hang on to stop the transgressions. We hang on to maybe not forgiving ourselves. So that's kind of a key thing that I, as I take away from all this, where I'm like, okay, that's why I, you know, I constantly have that thing in my head that says, let it go, because that's part of what my soul came here to learn. So I don't know if you've ever heard it presented this way, Nicole, but do you see how, as you put all the numbers together, in addition to your birth path, how it can really start breaking things down?
Mm-hmm. So entirely different, multidimensional, more in-depth view.
Right. Yeah. That's what I thought, you know, it would be, you know, and it's something you can't do on the air. Right. But, you know, for people, but, you know, I find, because I've had people ask me before, well, I'm born on the same day as, you know, Johnny, and we are totally different people. How is that? Or I have a friend who has triplets, and she said they couldn't be more different if they tried. So as you get down to it, because the last three numbers have to do with their name, right, it helps them express their birth path in a different way. And it brings more to, oh, wow, okay. You know, so for me, right, if I'm thinking about commerce and creating some sort of wealth as an eight, there's always going to be a humanitarian bent to it. There's always going to be something that I need to communicate. You know, that's going to be an important part of it, whether it's radio, it's teaching in person, it's writing. All those things are going to come together for me. And that's, and so then as I look and say, oh, okay, well, you know, do I want to do this? Do I want to do that? How does that fit in with my numbers? So I find it to be really an interesting way to explore it and really dig a little bit deeper. Yeah, the other thing I wanted to talk about today, just because it's topical for me, and I feel like, you know, talking about when people pass and their life lesson and how does that relate to, you know, when they die, or, you know, was their life in vain kind of thing, which I never believe anyone's life is in vain. There's always some lesson to be learned. I've always been taught that, you know, we all have several different exit points. And that those exit points are, you know, they're kind of predetermined when we're up at the whiteboard, but which one we take, you know, comes down to our free will. And so I wanted to talk about my brother who passed away 32 years ago today. And with that, it's interesting because what numerology did for me was bring me a shift that I was like, oh, my gosh, okay. So he was a one path. So the one path is all about being a leader and, you know, bringing your unique voice to the world through your leadership, but at the same time, overcoming self-doubt to do it. And, you know, and my brother was a, he was a leader when he was young, on the sports teams, in school, is very bright. But he got caught up in the drug scene. You know, he's a early 70s guy. And, you know, it kind of took his life into a different place. So you know, he had a couple different scholarships for different sports to play in college. And in the end, it just didn't work out for him because he had a lot of, he just lost his way with drugs. So as I, in many years of my life, thought, wow, he really wasted his life and he didn't do what he came here for and what a tragedy. As I started reflecting on it from a numbers perspective and where he was in his life when he died, I was like, wow, okay. So he had cancer. And it was the mid-80s, and he needed a bone marrow transplant. So he went to a teaching school in Minnesota, University of Minnesota, teaching hospital, and he was there for a long time. They did, and it was very experimental then still with bone marrow transplants. And so during this whole process, you know, they radiated his body before he got his bone marrow transplant, and that was successful. But he went through a lot of really excruciating tests and things that they did on him that were very experimental. And in the end, he ended up dying, but from something, not from the bone marrow transplant. Okay, yeah, it was successful, but he ended up dying from something that he got in the hospital while he was there getting the bone marrow transplant, which, you know, right? Don't they always say the worst place to be when you're sick is a hospital? So he ended up catching something from the hospital, and it, in the end, ended up killing him, where it was some sort of bacteria, something he ends up getting in his lungs, and it ended up suffocating him. But he was, by all intents and purposes, cured from what he needed to do with the bone marrow transplant. You know, I always thought, oh, what a shame, and he had this bone marrow transplant that worked, and what bad luck that this happened to him in the hospital, and, you know, that he ended up dying. But if you kind of, you know, create a shift with this and say, all right, so my brother was a one, which was all about unique innovation, creating, being a leader, and overcoming self-doubt, those confident issues to do it and, you know, bring that to the world. As I realized that he really put on a brave face and never complained, never anything. When he was working, you know, when he had all these excruciating tests and, you know, procedures and, you know, right down to, you know, having this bone marrow transplant and trying to recoup from it, that he was really a model of strength. And as, you know, we talked, you know, after he passed and talking to some of the doctors that were at, you know, because this is a teaching hospital, right? So everyone's learning. And my mom had kept in touch with one of the doctors that was his main physician. And he said, you know, his slides are being used still years later. And they taught people so much about the process of bone marrow transplant and helped so many different people as the technology evolved and the procedures, you know, what they learned from it. So can you see how, if you look at it from the perspective of he actually, came here and taught and led through this disease and through this experimental process, which is now way more less experimental, you know, some lots of years later, if you look at it that way, you go, well, wow, that was one of his exit points. And he came here to do what he was supposed to do, whether it, you know, looked ugly in between in some years or not. He, you know, he came and learned his, what he needed to do as a one. So I thought that was really a great shift. I know it was very healing for me. And that's one thing, you know, to talk about with people too, when they have questions about, you know, when a loved one passes and gosh, you know, was that, how tragic was it? Or, you know, the things that, you know, we feel a lot of grief and sadness and that's always the case. But if we can make some sense of what the person accomplished and what they contributed and how that relates to their life lesson and their birth path and all their other numbers, you go, wow, okay, that can give you some solace, that can give you some hope that, you know, it wasn't in vain. You know, and it's interesting too with it, because, you know, my mom was there with him when he was going through all of this. And, you know, she was a nurse by training and, you know, he had gone into shock many times. And, you know, when you have a blood disease, it's, you know, your white blood cells are low and you're anemic and, you know, it's a very touch and go kind of thing, right? It's like someone with leukemia. So he had aplastic anemia and she was just right there with him the whole time. And there were only a couple times in the 6 months he was in that hospital that she left. You know, my sister was still in high school, you know, went back home, and she actually went back home this weekend or when this, you know, this day to, he was going to come back to our family home to convalesce, and he died while she was gone, you know, and you can look at that and go, wow, that was such a tragedy. And oh my gosh, that's the worst thing. And, but then if you kind of look at it, and say, all right, so my mom was in a 9-year that year, which is about letting go of things. And I think my brother died when she was gone because she was not going to let him go. And so he needed to go when she left. And if you look at it that way, right, if you create that shift and say, wow, that was, you know, it was his exit point. And, you know, she was hanging on and she wasn't going to let him go. And so he needed to go when she left. And that's a great shift too. So, you know, as you look at, you know, all of your numbers and then, you know, some of the things with your loved ones and how you create, you know, that relationship, right? So for me, with my brother, I'm an 8, he's a 1, our relationship was a 9. And, you know, I was pretty mad at him for a number of years for what I thought was like totally wasting his life. Until I kind of let that go and shifted my perspective on it. And it's interesting how that has been very healing for me. You know, so there's that idea of what someone else came to do, how it relates to your path, how it relates, you know, what they did with their life and how it relates to their path and their passing, and then what your relationship number is. So there's so many facets to numerology beyond the day you're born, just that, you know, just that number. And, you know, that's what I really love to work on with people, because I think it's just, it can be so, it can really help shift people's perspective and help them heal. And, you know, and as I've done that, you know, what has really worked for me with that then is I work on energy healing with people. Then we can start to work in those places in the body where the trauma has stayed, where that, you know, where you need to help move that energy to get to forgiveness, to get to into your heart instead of your head, and to get out of the fear place. So taking that combination, I think, is, you know, can be really powerful in terms of studying someone's numbers. And then as you do that, creating an action plan, you know, some small steps, you know, helping them out with a spiritual practice, and then bringing energy work into it, where we work on, hey, let's, you know, do some of the work that I do with energy to help shift that vibration of that idea in your head that, let's say, I need to be small to survive. So I'm never going to go to the head of the class. I'm never going to create any waves. So you can see that, let's say, the person is a one, or they're an eight, or there's some number that's requiring them to be out front and be a leader, but they've got this mindset, this idea about how the world works that keeps them safe, which is actually counteracting and preventing them from owning what that is they came here to do. So if you can help them shift through that, it can be really powerful. And that's something that I like to work on with people, because it can really, I really love to see the shifts with it. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, so, you know, as I kind of just moved right into my shameless self-promotion here, my website is www.rockyourchakra.com. And you can contact me through there, or you can email me at laura@rockyourchakra.com. And that's rockyourchakra.com. Or hold that, rockyourchakra.com. It's a great time, you know, especially in the beginning of the year or any time, but great time to bring some more focus into what it is that you want to manifest, especially after that blue moon. And you may find, wow, what I wanted to manifest really has come together with what it is that I am meant to do, and give you affirmation and energy to move forward things in your life. So I'd love to hear from someone and work with you. So I think that's about all we have for today.
And I finally made it back onto the board in a really weird way. Thanks for keeping on trucking there. And
yeah.
Awesome. It was an interesting, more in-depth perspective today. Love it. Love what you do, and it's an important piece, you know?
Absolutely. I, you know, always fires me up.
Yay! Well, here we are, fired up on a Monday morning over here and ready to go. So looking
all
forward
right
to the next time, as always. Right, have a
yeah,
great
I'd love
couple
to just get some call-ins in the next 2 weeks, maybe with, you know, people wanting to ask about their relationship number or a loved one's number, and
ooh,
we can work through some of those ideas. All right?
Perfect. Let's do that. That sounds excellent. In the meantime, have a great couple of weeks, and thanks
all right
again for being here and being you.
All right. Thanks, Nicole. Bye-bye.
Laura is all linked up at newsforthesoul.com, and our day is just getting started.
You're now tuned in to Nicole Whitney's News for the Soul highlights, life-changing spotlights she has shared with leading teachers in the human consciousness field since 1997. Go now to newsforthesoul.com to hear the full shows totally free. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Another experience that you're just gonna, I mean, this is just so far off the wall, it's unreal. I wanted to levitate, and this was so important to me. My God, if Thomas Aquinas, 240 pounds, can levitate, surely I can levitate. I mean, it's just, I want to levitate. And I would meditate, and then I would think, well, today I can levitate. And I would get in the tub and think maybe I could walk on water and nothing happened, you know. And this was so funny because my husband kept saying, you're an idiot. And I said, no, I'm going to levitate, and I'm not going to let go until I do. But then I came back home, and it was about a month or two later. One morning, I can't describe it. It was a feeling of euphoric. It's such a feeling that you can do anything. But I decided I was going to go to the little chapel right down where I lived in Las Colinas in Irving. They have this Catholic chapel, which is about 2 blocks, actually, from where I live. And I decided to go there and to meditate. And I got out of the car and was feeling just so, all of a sudden, I'm levitating about, I'd say about 3 inches off the ground. Well, there's a path that goes down and there's steps, but there weren't any railings, there was nothing to hang on to, and I am petrified. Here I am, a little above, and I'm wobbling, and I'm disoriented. And would you believe I paddled like I would if I was swimming until I finally got to the front of the church and they had a pillar there. And I put my arms around that pillar and I said, okay, enough already. I'm talking to anybody that can hear me in the unseen world. And then a bunch of students that go to the college there walked up and I'm still there hanging that post. That was so ridiculous. And then I got into the chapel and I said, okay, take it away from me. I don't want this anymore. So, decided I didn't need to levitate.